say. I don't know where I should go. I'm stuck in traffic on the road. I've got my dial on the radio. It's tuned to KROX. Let's go, 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 let's go. Let's go.
Matt, how did we not learn our lesson? How many times in our radio career have we decided to go have a delicious lunch at Amaya's filled with enchiladas, puffy tacos, chips and salsa, and then return to work feeling dead tired?
That's not the lesson I thought you were going to get after. I thought you were going to say, how do we not learn our lesson that we're not supposed to say fish swimmers as many times as we did yesterday?
Yeah, that too. We did have training this morning before we went and had lunch and learned that there are a lot of things that we are maybe supposedly not supposed to say.
Yeah, we had indecency training today. We have to do it because the FCC requires us to do it every once in a while. Indecency training, that's where they tell us the things that we can and cannot say on the air. And like, it turns out that each and every segment we've ever done on this show,
a little indecent.
It's problematic.
not great. No swearing, no innuendo whatsoever, even if it's double entendre. So I don't even know what the hell that means, but we signed the paperwork. And you know when they give you a packet of stuff and you sign it and you don't read it? It usually means, they can can your ass, so you know, we'll just have to watch ourselves for, what, one more week till the holidays?
I am a longtime believer that entertaining an audience is more important than being okay by the government.
Okay. Fair enough. There we have it.
Sound good?
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Well, I think the audience appreciates that. I mean, if you want to, essentially what they said is you can read news and weather. That's it. They said you can read news and weather. The government will allow that, but other than that, I mean, that's not exactly what I think is entertaining day in and day out. But other than that, we're fine. We're fine. And I'm sorry that we fed you too much at lunch.
I mean, no one was forcing those enchiladas down my throat besides me.
That's true. Might have looked, I don't know what you have to complain about because, I mean, you ate a taco and two enchiladas?
Yes.
Yeah. Shut your trap.
Dude,
I ate one taco and one enchilada because I'm also a regular person. Somebody in this room who shall remain unnameless, mainly because his microphone isn't on at the moment, ate two tacos, rice,
beans,
enchiladas, chips, salsa. Very proud of that boy.
And pounded down like two or three glasses of water, too.
And didn't even, no phase whatsoever, and came in here skipping. I don't think he was affected by the meal whatsoever.
No, I guess I shouldn't be bitching whenever it, oh, can we say that?
You can say whatever you want to.
Oh, man.
No, look.
Now I'm scared.
The rule says you can say anything you want to on air. You just might get fired
for
over it.
Okay.
But you can say whatever you want to.
Lessons learned. Don't say bad stuff and don't eat all the Amaya's before coming to work.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan, unquote, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Not a today is the greatest, but today is National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. The day when a bold surprise attack on U.S. Naval Base drew the U.S. into the inevitable conflict with Japan and eventually all of World War II.
Was it?
Much of our U.S. Pacific Fleet was rendered useless, including over 200 aircraft, several battleships. Fortunately, the aircraft carriers were out at sea at this time doing training exercises. Admiral Yamamoto, who planned the attack, was reported to have recorded this in her diary. Even though we don't know if it's completely true, I fear we have awakened a sleeping giant and filled him with terrible resolve. So today in history, Pearl Harbor attacked, United States forever changed, entering World War II, eventually becoming a global superpower.
We've learned that it wasn't as much of a surprise as we thought in the beginning.
They might have sent some information saying that they might be attacking.
Yeah, they've also sent envoys saying, if you don't sign these things, we will attack. We've learned that the situation was more complicated than necessarily it's been presented to us. And by I mean it's been presented to us, I mean Hollywood put Ben Affleck at the scene of the crime.
God, that movie was so bad.
And decided to turn it into a romance.
There is, if you want to read more about it, there's a fascinating book called Hirohito's War by Francis Pike that gives you a little more background on like the Japanese rise of nationalism and how they felt continually spurned by the Western powers and just how the Japanese Empire came to be, why they had this grand plan of erupting all over the South Pacific, attacking the United States, and they were going to kind of just hold on to what they could.
The United States had been involved in World War One and decided it was called World War One. It was called the Great World War, and people decided we're not going to be in any other wars.
The war to end all wars.
Correct, and we decided we were never going to be in another big war or any war, and it was a little hard to persuade the U.S. people that they should be involved in a war whatsoever, though a lot of people wanted us involved, and there's some suspicion.
Another European war.
Some suspicion that some people turned a bit of a blind eye to some of the things that they thought might be on the horizon. Now, they didn't have an exact date and time, but they really felt that they were egging the Japanese into an attack, hoping that that would then kind of solidify all of America to get behind the war effort.
Yeah, and there's
and guess what? Boy, did it work.
It worked. Yeah, there's also conspiracies with the aircraft carriers being out at sea. But granted, at that time, battleships were considered the premier ship of the line. It wasn't until midway through the Pacific War that you kind of realized the aircraft carriers were going to be the dominant force.
It wasn't until most of the Navy learned how to play sand volleyball and sing Isley Brothers songs,
yeah,
I think.
Off the beaches, yeah.
Yeah, that's when the aircraft carriers really took off. Highway to the danger zone.
I got to go visit the museum when I was in Hawaii. Everyone else went to swim with dolphins, and I was like, no, man, I'm going to the museum.
The museum is beautiful.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's very solemn.
Yeah, you see and definitely learn a lot, so I recommend doing that sometime. And again, I recommend not just taking what we've been kind of instructed and learned through the history of Hollywood and World War II movies and read a little bit more about the cause of this war, why Japan felt the need to attack, why, as you said, we might have let some things happen to
get involved. Are you saying do
your
own research?
Do your own research.
Yeah, so you want me to watch like a six-minute
video
on YouTube and then go, I know the real causes.
Yeah, that makes sense. So today we celebrate Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. Do some research.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Shall we open the door?
Open the door. Let's let Spencer, our producer, out every day. We do this. If he entertains us, he can stay out of the dungeon. If he don't, back into the closet with you, sir. What you got for us today, Spenny?
It's getting real comfy in there, by the way. Let's see what we got. Earth is getting a black box to record events that would lead to the downfall of civilization.
Hooray! Okay. Finally. That way, what? The cockroaches can read our history?
Or no, potentially an alien civilization. Or way distant in the future, baboons, or whoever seems to survive through it. I don't know. But it's going to be about the size of a bus, and they're putting it in empty plane in Tasmania, Australia. It's going to record a bunch of climate information as well as a bunch of tweets and stuff like that, like political commentary, things like that, stuff on the news at the same time. So if the world does seem to end here in the next, I think, 30 or 40 years is how much data it can hold up to, I think, then hey, we'll have all the answers for the next people.
That's perfect. They'll look at it and they'll go, well, the temperatures were soaring. In fact, they were up 10 degrees Celsius in just 10 years. You think that's what killed them? No. There's something called Twitter. I want you to take a look at this. I think this is what did away with the humans.
Oh, man.
At least we've got that seed vault in Antarctica. You can just leave instructions to thaw that bad boy out.
There's one in Norway,
put him in a
too.
Turkey baster, and let's get going again.
Well, as long as those seeds keep propagating, we'll be fine.
We can
right?
turn the earth back around. Yeah.
Even more good news. They just approved suicide pods over in Sweden.
In case you don't want to wait
just
till
in
the
case,
end.
If you're too excited.
What is a suicide pod?
You can't
pod?
Wait. A suicide pod is for euthanasia, essentially, which is a bit less controversial over in Europe and a
Correct.
Lot of in other places.
No, I mean, I understood it was for probably self-assisted yeah. suicide. But what is the pod mean?
I mean, haven't you seen Futurama?
No.
This was literally on that cartoon. They had suicide pods.
They are offering death without using controlled substance, but also they're trying to automate the process too. Normally you'd have to go speak with a shrink of some sort, a psychologist, so that they can determine, all right, this dude wants to kill himself properly. Like there's just a lot of quick to judgment people that they want to weed out. Like, we want to make sure you really want to off yourself, you know. So
is this for terminally ill that. Or just
well, it's generally
for the most part, yeah, right now at least.
To touch on it seriously, so people don't think that we're being flip about it. It's generally not for depression. It's generally for people who
are terminally
ill and are like, look, I am going to end up bankrupting my family if I stay alive. There's no point in it. My quality of life, I know, goes downhill from here, and I'm with sound mind, I'm not depressed. This is the choice I want to make. And for that, I think it's unreasonable when we tell those kinds of people, no, you're not allowed
Absolutely.
To. But now, how does the pod work? Do I get in it and then it just changes my air out with helium?
I'm not entirely certain yet because they're still working on it, but they just had the idea.
I just want you to know that the one I'm building, it changes your air out
and
with
then
helium.
You just talk like this till you're done.
Oh my God.
Mine's going to have swords. In some way.
Really?
Yeah, I'll figure that out.
There's an older woman who developed...
It just reduces the oxygen until you suffocate. That sounds fun.
Yeah, until you go to sleep. Well, that's what the helium does. There's an older woman who helps older people in some countries where it's not legal to off themselves, and she has found ways to do it ethically, well, humanely, we should say.
Yeah.
And one of the things she found online was that you can order these... compressed helium tanks for blowing up balloons at a kid's party. And helium, it displaces the air in your lungs so it doesn't hurt. It's not like you don't feel like you're choking or whatever. And you just slowly turn it up with a bag over your head. So if you put just a bag over your head, it suffocates you and it's painful.
Hurts. I hear.
But it's for a lot of older people because she was trying, she said there were a lot of older people who had lost their mates. Their kids had kind of moved on or whatever. They felt like they were a burden. These were people who were like in their 90s, and she felt like she was doing a service. Yeah. A lot of people then went after her and were trying to sue her and imprison her. I always kind of felt for her. I felt like she wasn't doing this for teenagers who were depressed or having trouble. She was trying to do it for other 90-year-olds who had said, look, I've lived a really good life. I've come to the end of it, and I'm looking
like
for a way that is allows me to go with a little bit of dignity.
I like that.
So I don't just slowly lose my mental facilities.
I respect that, personally.
Isn't this legal in the U.S., like in Oregon or
Vermont,
Washington?
I believe.
The very few states, and even there, it's still controversial.
Not joking.
and it's still mired in controversy. I mean, we're still a pretty... you know, we're a bit old school and traditional as far as the country goes. We're a little puritanical.
Puritan.
And so I think for a lot of people, it feels uncomfortable to even talk about the subject of death, much less the subject of assisted suicide.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Thanks for depressing us, Spinny.
Thanks, Spinny.
It's something good to look out for, the future. It's good for other people.
Only a guy who's
us.
Always as depressed as you goes, hey look, I think this is
a great
good.
Invention. We love it.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
That's right. That sound tells us it's time for parent pickup. Hello to all you parents out there, your heroes picking up kids. I always try to find something specifically for you, but really it's for everybody. And
all
I missed this yesterday somehow. AISD had to send a substitute home on Friday because, should we let KXAN tell you why he got sent home? Let's listen up here. He got recorded by one of his students, one of the pupils. Yep, that's him teaching in class. Anybody recognize that? Do you recognize that, Spenny?
Is that a...
She's very...
Hold on.
It's toxic.
That's Britney Spears.
That's right.
Gorgeous.
The substitute brought a karaoke machine to class and apparently just started singing into it. And At first, I was like all for this. I was like, hey, you're trying to energize the kids. But apparently, he just sang the song, and then when it was over, started singing another one.
Yeah, and I guess this guy's been traveling the country doing this sort of thing. Like, he's not just a substitute teacher, but he's trying to become an influencer or something like that. He's got a TikTok and an Instagram.
Oh,
and
is he really?
He's been doing this. I don't even know if he's a real substitute teacher at this point.
When you say real substitute teacher, education is a difficult business. I understand that. But really, if you can rub two sticks together, you can end up being a substitute teacher, especially in today's climate. It's so hard to fill a classroom right now with dedicated teachers. They're having to lean on a lot of substitutes. A lot of the traditional substitutes are out and like, hey, I ain't going in there for that kind of pay during COVID.
No.
So they're taking who they can.
Dude got escorted out of Bowie High School.
Well, he did, but I read that he was already back in another classroom come Monday.
Okay.
There's usually clearinghouses, and so what happens is that you just call into the clearinghouse, say, I'm available this day, and then you get a call right back. I'm dating myself. It hasn't been that way probably. They probably use the internet now, Matt. I don't
Something
know what you're talking
like
about.
That.
Yeah. Right after college, a lot of us substituted for a bit. I say a lot of us substituted for a bit. Most of us lasted a day.
A day.
I lasted a day. Yeah, I was just like, I can't do this. I cannot do this. I can't do this. But, you know, I'm a stand-up comic by trade, and I'm wondering if I shouldn't start. Should I just start touring the nation? Your audience can't go anywhere.
They're stuck in class. They will fail if they don't sit there and listen to you.
They're forced to listen to your act. I mean, the guy doesn't have a terrible voice. He kind of nailed it. Can we hear a touch more of that?
It also looks like on the video he had strobe lights.
He did. He had a whole strobe light thing set up, and
he had some vocal effects.
Here we get go. Ready?
Taste of your lips, I'm on a ride.
That ain't too bad, you're right.
Yeah, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't be this good at all.
I'm addicted to you. Don't you know that you're toxic?
Little pitchy, but I guess you can't be doing that.
Cannot be doing that. Everybody knows that karaokeing ain't allowed in school.
Oh, we even made a sound effect for that.
Karaoke and nailed it. It sounds good that we know how to cut audio in this place.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
I've got 8 lessons in productivity and brainstorming that I thought we as a team, just Matt and CJ show, could use together. This is actually after someone watched the Beatles documentary and proceeded to go to medium.com to write an article, and I just know you're going to love this, Matt. Oh, number one.
Trying to make me angry.
Number one, something that I'm sure you've said before, the yes and rule. It is the first rule of improv, so instead of saying no during a brainstorming session or trying to do something creative, don't say no. You say yes. I'm pointing at yes, and so you offer something as well.
I don't even know why you would read this one with a straight face, because I've been in brainstorming sessions with you, and every idea that comes up, you go, ugh,
we can't do that.
We don't have the money for that or the time.
That's not true. Well, maybe I'll change and learn some new things after reading this.
Hey, I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I use you. I know that you have that skill set, and then I don't have to speak up and say,
this is a dumb idea. Yeah, okay. Number two, keep going, but know when it's time to stop. There's a scene where the Beatles try to keep hammering out Let It Be, but Paul realizes they're burnt out and suggest they move on to something else for a while.
Yeah, by the way, this is great for if you ever have whiskey D as well.
One conversation at a time. It's because a lot of people try to edit on the fly or come up with their own ideas, or they interrupt each other, but it's polite to let people finish and only talk about one thing at a time. Embrace happy accidents. If they're working on something and it sounds good and it's accidental, don't interrupt it. Let it flow and let it go.
You know,
whatever the hell that means.
The guy who discovered LSD was not looking for LSD. Happy accident.
Indeed. And it influenced the Beatles very much.
Yeah. You know, he took a huge, massive, heroic dose of LSD the very first time he tripped because he didn't realize what he was doing. It would be the quantity of like 800 hits today.
Yeah, and it's very similar with how MDMA was invented accidentally. Yeah.
But now you might be like, did I accidentally take acid? But he had no idea it was good. He just thought that the whole world was ending and he
collapsing.
Was going to die. Yeah.
Don't pass judgment too quickly. As brainstorming goes, there are no bad ideas, Matt.
You know what? That's a bad thing to teach our kids because I've been in meetings. Everybody listening to me right now has been in meetings. We all know there are a lot of terrible ideas.
Most of it is just bad ideas.
Most of those ideas also come at the end of a meeting when you're ready to go and someone's like, well, let me but what if, shut up. No more questions, Gail.
Don't be scared to look silly or even stupid. Toss out your ideas, let them get out, and if some of them are bad, well, there might be some good ones leading up to
this,
it.
This article is just trolling people at this point, I think. Yeah, go ahead. That's a great idea. Throw it out there.
Don't forget to eat. There are a lot of scenes where they stop to have tea and toast. Sometimes a small break lets you shift your focus so new ideas emerge. Can you hear me smiling as I'm reading this Medium article? And of course, number 8, if other people don't like an idea, maybe you gotta let it go. That's
all right. Sp Entertainment's canceled.
Yeah, it is. Half the things on this show are now done. It says here the director of the original movie where they got this kept trying to make them do a last big concert outdoor in Tripoli. He kept bringing it up. They kept rejecting it. Eventually, they did perform on top of Apple Records. So there you go. 8 lessons in productivity and brainstorming that we've learned from the Beatles that we'll probably never use. It's now going in the trash. There we go.
I saw a great article about Mel Brooks where he said, say yes. Anything that's asked of you, go ahead and say yes. You don't have to do it. Constantly that the studio heads would come down to him and say, we want to make these changes to the movies.
Sure, yeah.
And he would say, okay, that's a great idea. And he would say, yep, you know what? Yep. And he just never would make the edit because he just didn't believe in it. But he would let somebody believe. And then he would think, yep. People, the thing is, they never want to bring it back up again. Like, did he hear me? Did he understand me?
I hope our boss and consultant aren't listening to this specific segment tomorrow.
They will absolutely be listening to this.
Crap.
You'll just have to say yes.
101X, Matt and CJ.
Punishment time is here for one Matt Bearden. As you know, every week we make some sports bets. You were out of town. Well, no, what the hell am I talking about? You were sick.
Yeah, I was just at home.
So we just had Nick and Spencer put together a list. I made the bets instead, and you lost.
Yeah, apparently I did. I wasn't included in it at all. I just showed up, and you're like, yeah, these are the questions that were asked, and you lost. That's all you said to me.
Hey, man, I can't lie about it because we know people will narc on me, but you did do the punishment Plinko, and you landed on brushing your teeth with your shoes.
Right.
So now, as punishment on air and on video.
Out of curiosity.
You have to brush your teeth.
Aren't you like 3 weeks behind in punishments?
Yes, I have 2 punishments. Not 3 weeks behind, just 2.
How come they haven't been done yet?
Because you've been gone. Okay. I need you to be here to do them.
These are my old school, like 1960s Lucchese's.
Yeah, nice pair of boots.
Yeah, they've done, I bet I've done, I don't know, 100,000 miles in these things. They've been resold a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Here's why I'm feeling good. They were just resold, I think it's September. So that's not nearly as much grime on these guys.
Yeah, so you're going to get a...
So I'm going to brush my teeth.
Brush your teeth, yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to be able to talk while I'm doing this,
no.
So you guys...
We're going to narrate what's happening.
Okay, please do. Okay,
all right, Matt is now putting a boot up to his teeth.
Nice.
Oh, buddy, you forgot a key component of brushing your teeth.
You brought the toothpaste.
You forgot the toothpaste.
But you keep forgetting
cinnamon
for one of your challenges.
You just can't brush without it.
I did happen to remember this. I'm kind
of
PO'd because there's no way this can be good for my boots.
No, it's toothpaste. It's got the grit, the grime on it.
Was it like a charcoal toothpaste?
Yeah, why is that black?
It's charcoal.
Why did I just put it in my mouth?
I don't know. I found it in the building.
Oh no!
Oh wait, it is charcoal toothpaste, so it's actually it's good for your boot, I assume. Punishment that Spencer came up with, and of course, if you like anything that you would like us to do to humiliate ourselves, please at Matt and CJ, we'll add it to the Plinko board.
How long do I got there?
I mean, Spencer,
how long do you brush your teeth?
Spencer
normally?
Made this up. Yeah,
30 seconds.
I have never brushed my teeth.
You just rinse. That's fine, I think.
There you go. Punishment.
Good enough. How was that charcoal?
Did you really just find that in the building somewhere?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I should have.
So it's just like filled with cancer or something? I don't even. Oh,
how lovely. Oh, God, you had it in your pocket. Look like you prepped planned
this. It made my nipples shiver. Oh, God.
Oh, he's about to puke.
Oh, no. Perfect.
Well, I guess we'll be back with.
Keep filming at least. Yeah.
Maybe Matt. Just Matt and CJ.
Matt and CJ. 101X.
I don't know about you, but I've noticed a lot of new pricks in the area lately, in the Austin area.
Yes.
Tons of new pricks in the area. And biologists actually say there is a reason. We'll go to KXAN for the big reveal.
Family may have come across some wildlife that used to not be quite as common in Central Texas. Now, this map shows the porcupine habitat. That's everything that's there in the red.
That's Texas Parks and Wildlife. Amarillo, Lubbock.
KXAN. Its biologists say the species appear to be expanding its range eastward, which would be here into Central Texas.
That's right. Porcupines.
That's the pricks, not Elon Musk.
I wasn't being a jerk. I was being serious.
Okay.
I noticed the other day driving my daughter to school. She said, "What was that?" And she always wants to know what the roadkill is. I don't like it about her because it's only just setting her up for sadness.
Yeah.
I always have to go, "That wasn't an adorable puppy. Don't worry about it." But we were pulling out of the house the other day and she goes, "What's that?" And I'm like, "It's a coyote." And, she was like, "Oh, same thing happened to your show." And, got it? Yeah. And, then we've been seeing skunks, but the other day, she said, "What is that?" And I said, "Well, that's a porcupine. I can tell clearly." And
that's
then,
a little odd. Yeah, you'd see armadillo
then,
maybe.
Like 3 days later, we saw another one. They've all been on around like 290 and I-35 area. So I don't know if one family member went out and then another one went looking for dad and then the kids went looking for mom. But I've been seeing more and more porcupines. And
now
then
we know.
I started thinking about it. I was like, wow, I have never seen this many dead porcupines in the city. And then I thought to myself, you know what? Come to think of it, I don't think I've ever seen
a porcupine
in the city. I started thinking about it. I'm like, oh, no, actually, porcupines I see when I go to West Texas, but I don't know them any law. And it's really a coincidence that this story came up really in the same week because I was going to just put a call out on the radio. Hey, has anyone else been seeing porcupines?
What?
Apparently,
porcupines?
I can't find the explanation. Biologists say they are expanding their habitat. I don't know what that means. Like, are we getting hotter and drier?
I think so. We're becoming more of a arid climate in the hill country. So
really?
Maybe they're just moving.
Tell
over
my
here more.
Scrotum that in the summertime, okay? Because it doesn't feel like it's more arid and dry whatsoever. But there are more porcupines in the city. I kind of bring it up because they are adorable. If you've ever seen the kind of porcupines we have here, they're not the ones that are from Africa with the black and the white giant quills. They actually look kind of cuddly. The reason I bring it up is they have pretty bad eyesight. And so they don't necessarily run from you. Here's my thing. Folks, don't try to pick them up.
Yeah.
Don't try to pick them
still
up.
Still got those quills. Can't they shoot them also?
No, they don't shoot them at all. And your dog, that's the biggest thing, is that if you find one in a park around the city and you have a dog even on the leash, your dog's going to be very curious. I'm going to tell you this right now. Your dog will end up with a face full of quills. The porcupine won't be harmed whatsoever, but you will spend quite a bit of money
at the vet.
At the vet, having each quill removed. They don't come out easily. They're barbed. They can cause a little bit of sickness in your dog. So I just bring it up because I have family out from West Texas, ranches, stuff like that. We've dealt with some porcupines. You don't want to deal with it. They are apparently here in the city. You'll see more and more of them. They're adorable. They really are an adorable animal. But just let them live in the trees and leave them be, ladies and gentlemen. Porcupines in the city. Hooray.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X. And now it's time for the Nerd Report.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
Yeah! It is an exciting time because another big trailer has dropped. Something else coming to a streaming service near you. Let's listen.
Are you sure about this, sir?
No, Major, I'm not. This son of a bitch is our only hope.
He's what we like to call a problem inmate.
Why is that?
He doesn't play well with others.
Is this what you want?
We need you, MacGruber.
Why me?
You were specifically requested. Back, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. It's a suicide mission.
Who let the dog out?
Yeah, that is right. MacGruber is returning. The movie came out in 2010, and it is not only a follow-up to that movie. It's an entire series on Peacock. It is not a one-off movie or a limited edition series. It follows MacGruber, who, after rotting in prison for a decade, is taken out to go after a villain from his past, Brigadier Commodore Enos Queeth, played by Billy Zane, with the entire world in the crosshairs. MacGruber must reassemble his old team. Of course, Kristen Wiig's going to be in this, Ryan Phillippe and more, to defeat the forces of evil.
Was anyone clamoring for this?
No, man. That's what's so crazy about this is it's they're bringing back MacGruber, and it's not just a one-off movie. It's a damn series.
We should let, because I think a lot of our listeners probably won't even remember MacGruber, right?
I mean, yeah.
It started as an SNL character.
It's an SNL character played by Will Forte, who makes fun of MacGyver,
right,
who people probably don't even know.
Because that was a weird series from what? Look, MacGyver was like, was it the 80s?
MacGyver was the 80s
and it was
90s.
A guy who would, in order to get out of a bind, would take like a cigarette wrapper, a toothpick, and a rubber band and create a bomb out of it. And then it would miraculously would save his own life every episode with three or four things. And that's, and he would create these inventions. It was really weird.
Now we have the parody, which is MacGruber, that was in the 2010s on Saturday Night Live, returning with the hilarious Will Forte. So I just had to share that during the Nerd Report because it is so bizarre to me that it's that they're making a series on Peacock out of this, out of something
so
11 years old.
Mad because they've got me, haven't they? They're going to.
You're gonna have to see this.
You know that Corsican of fruit cake, whatever documentary I talked about two weeks ago. I believe it premieres tonight. I'm going to end up buying Peacock. I'm going to end up spending another $10 a month.
On yet another streaming service. MacGruber's on it.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Experts say revenge spending is leaving a lot of us in dire straits. To that I say, oh, what the hell is revenge spending?
Is that where you get dumped and you're like, well, I'm going to get me a new car, something like that?
You know what? That's incredible. So I was going to ask if you knew what revenge spending was, because I thought it was like, oh, you get cheated on, and so you take that person's credit card and run up a bunch of bills. I was thinking that's what revenge spending was.
I mean, that's illegal, too, but still revenge spending.
What's the law? What is the law, really? Yeah, all's fair in love and war. But you're actually right onto it. Revenge spending is kind of trying to make yourself feel better.
Live your best life.
After something bad has happened. And we all do it from time to time. What's happening right now, though, and this is really interesting, as we talked about it yesterday, how consumer spending is up 50% over pre-COVID spending here in Austin.
It's crazy.
So what experts are saying is, hey, look, this is actually happening in a lot of places. We all spent a year and a half or so, some of us, you know, now close to 2 years, having to change our lifestyle, work from home. Maybe you had kids at the house or whatever. Yeah. And so it's kind of made us all a little bit angry. We've been living under this cloak, and now you want to explode and go
get out
crazy.
Rack up some credit.
Yeah. In fact, the most, at least in sort of modern times, the most famous all-national revenge spending was called the Roaring Twenties. Might have heard about it. We had gone through World War I, then the Spanish flu, an epidemic, and when it was over, people went crazy. They started buying stuff on credit. They went nuts. They started partying constantly. And then
speakeasies and flappers.
Do you remember what happened at the end of the Roaring Twenties?
A giant, massive crash.
Thing called the Depression. A thing called the Great Depression. And while we're a ways from it, experts are saying, hey, look, here's one of the things we're seeing. This year, it's the holidays. A lot of us didn't see our families last year at the holidays. You want to make up for it now. And people are actually putting themselves in financial trouble.
Spending money they don't have.
Spending, going kind of crazy, and they're warning people. They're saying, hey, look, here's a couple things you can do to make sure that you don't get yourself in trouble. One of them is to set limits for splurges. And I know one of the things I do, and CJ, you've done this too. If you're going to go to the strip club, don't allow yourself to go to the ATM, right?
I mean, that's inevitable.
You can only spend the 20s in your pocket.
Yeah, yeah, that happens.
No, it doesn't for you. I've seen you take multiple trips paying $8 in fees every time you do it.
You just pull out a couple hundo right when you get there, right. And there you go.
They say you should also create a wish list. So if you're like, all right, I like Shasta, I like Mercedes, I like whoever that girl is on the B stage, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't go throw your dollars at every single girl in the place that night, right?
Yeah, you come back a week later and then spend more money. Or I guess what this is really kind of saying is, say you have an Amazon account or a Target account, you go crazy. Instead of physically buying the items online or in person, you add them to the list you want. That way you kind of get the emotional feel of buying it without doing
and
it.
On that one, they said the most important thing to do is, if you decided to spend big money, give yourself a cooling off period before committing to the actual purchase. So,
hell no.
You've been there all evening, you're kind of worked up, and you're like, you know what? I am going to go to the champagne room. They're saying maybe, just maybe, walk away, pay your tab, leave that night, and then if tomorrow morning you're still like, you know what, I really want to go to the champagne room, then you can go back. But there's a really good chance you'll wake up and go, oh my God, what was I thinking? What was going on? Honestly, this article comes from an economics magazine. They haven't mentioned strip clubs at all, but I was trying to put it in a perspective
that I could understand.
Yes,
okay,
exactly. That a lot of the listeners could understand as well. They are saying, hey, look, if you're going to make really big purchases, if you decided you're going to buy a car, if you're going to make
a game system, whatever it is,
write it down. And wait like 3 or 4 days.
Let that adrenaline you have burn off, because there is something so exciting about buying a big old new whatever.
Well,
and you let that die off. And
I
then
saw
if you still
this
want
article
it, okay.
And I thought, you know what? There's somebody in my life that I'm close to that I work with every day who has a house full of swords and giant like $800 collector Lego sets. And I wonder if any of this information could be of help to him.
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, that's cool. My bad.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X. Some dude called into a conservative news talk radio station and went on a rant.
Really?
But it was an excellent troll. I've been sitting on this for a while waiting for you to get back because I've wanted to share this with you. He essentially called in, started complaining about stuff. The hosts agree, and the dude's just trying to drop as many like punk bands as he can in there. A lot of stuff that we play here on 101X. So
punk
Rancid, Rise Against retweeted it, stuff like that.
Okay,
I mean, stuff that you would know.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, yeah. See if you can recognize, it's just the
Democratic Party is just built on a bunch of dead Kennedys.
Let's see if they get that in there.
Okay.
We have got Bill on the line. He's calling from here in Nashua. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
Good. You know, I think one of my main problems is I'm a Republican in a fairly liberal area, and at times I feel like everyone is just like against me. So I feel like what we need to do is listen to what our descendants told
us.
In the past, we refused to live a life of agony. I'm just I'm sick of it all.
I'm sick of people
thinking we're just a minor threat.
Nice.
Enough of that Fugazi.
A lot of these people
just got bad brains and they're misfits who wave, a black flag and they're practically anti-flag. I think we need to converge and help the youth
converge.
Every time you blink, 182 kids they go missing.
Blink 82.
So I don't think we should be exploited anymore.
Exploited.
We need to rise against.
Nice.
They're going to have to deal with the fallout. Boy.
You're absolutely right.
I got to pause it real quick. That's great. So he's just
15 so far.
He just did a bunch of, what do we call it, word salad, essentially.
Yeah.
But it
sounds like a lot of callers to that style of radio.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see what the radio host responds.
He's got more?
Oh, he's got more. Here we go. First, the radio hosts placate him. Here we go.
More and more folks are. And this is good, right, guys?
Well, yeah. It always happens. We have the left takes power. They overreach. A new group of people rises up. Like now, it's parents mostly, and.
Yeah, we've been trying to, quote unquote, weaponize Granite Rock to say, look, get involved.
This is still
here's
the
a group here, a group this, here, a group here, because people
is this
realize,
internet yes, radio, quote unquote, internet radio? Because if it's terrestrial radio, it's horrendous, and all three of these people need to be fired.
It is horrendous, but it says WSMN, which means it's east of the Mississippi, and that's it's got the call letters.
It just that's ugh. Missing, or it's really
sleepy.
Missing some pacing, isn't it?
Oh, hey,
it's
man,
like college radio,
you never tuned into conservative talk radio. It's not the most exciting. I'm not saying we're good at anything other than making fish jokes, but yeah.
All right.
I'll listen. Let's see if he names a few more bands before he gets off the phone, because clearly they haven't realized it yet at all.
Well, I don't think this is the target audience for punk bands.
And I'm not going to take it anymore. Moment. Everybody needs that. We try to help in our very self-effacing way.
Get back
way.
To the caller.
Self-effacing way. So.
Well, anyway. Yeah. I'll let you guys go. I'm going to head out. I'm going to go catch some real big fish. I hope you guys
are you going to eat that really big fish for your Thanksgiving meal?
Well, not if it tastes rancid.
Okay. All right, Bill. Hey, thank you for calling in, and happy Thanksgiving.
I almost feel bad for him, but why are they laughing about...
You, thank Bill. You. Bye-bye.
Because they're idiots.
Oh, I wish you would have dropped Dead Kennedys, though. You
Dead
you had
Kennedys,
to
there was a, we missed a spot for Corrosion of Conformity. Yeah, could have been in there.
Bad Religion. Come on.
I would have loved to have seen some local stuff go up there. I would have loved to say, like, we need to kick these crumb bums out of office, you know?
Dynamite boy.
You get these, they're collecting our taxes, these riverboat gamblers, and it's worth nothing. That was fun. That was fun for me.
That's good. Please don't prank call us, though. We're not that fun. 101X.
Here's more Matt and CJ.
Got another people behaving badly. This time it's not necessarily full-grown adult people. It's the kid people.
Heck yeah.
Let's travel all the way to the magical land of Florida where these stories keep popping up to find out what happened.
It just seems
first
like... Go ahead.
No, I
cut you off. Go. This is important.
First at 5 today, cell phone cameras rolled as a fight at a trampoline park in Tampa turned into this huge brawl. Hillsborough deputies say it involved hundreds of kids. As Fox 13's Aaron Mesmer reports, the fight has some parents scared for their children's safety.
2 days after she recorded jarring video of a brawl at a trampoline park in Tampa.
This escalated very quickly.
This mother says it's still jarring to watch.
They were all having fun, and then when this lady says, oh my God, and I turn around to look, they're fighting on the right side.
Sandra Bermudez says this unfolded while she was at Sky Zone on Adamo Drive with her 9-year-old son Saturday. She's not sure what started the fight, but it quickly got out of control as she recorded with her cell phone. Bermudez was scared for her much smaller son.
Oh, very. I thought he was going to get hurt.
According to Hillsborough deputies, the melee involved about 200 kids, mostly teenagers. Sky Zone security can be seen trying to intervene.
Sky Zone security, hell of a job there.
First of all, case, Die Zone, new name for the place. Yeah. Secondly, do I have any compassion for this mother?
I mean, she seemed to have just videotaped the entire thing rather than go yank her kid.
She said, I was so scared for my 9-year-old son who was in the middle of a melee. I was so scared that I picked up my phone and recorded it.
Dude, if you're going to be a kid and be in a big fist fight, is there not any more of an amazing place than a trampoline center?
The amazing thing is, and people can't see this, folks, it's just hundreds of kids on trampolines swinging.
Throwing each other.
But
bouncing.
They're bouncing around. It's amazing footage. What is security at Sky Zone? Let's be honest. Security at Sky Zone are the kids who graduated last year.
Mm-hmm. Run below lifeguards.
Can't get into tech school.
Yeah.
Still have to pick up a dollar somehow. And they're hanging around, and they're not doing anything. They're just like, whatevs.
I just can't get over that it's like actually 200 kids. It is hundreds of kids just in a battle royale. But again, you're just throwing each other and jumping, high kicking. That seems like a lot of fun. If there's going to be a fight, do it in a bounce house. Do it at a trampoline place.
And Florida's going to Florida. I mean, there's no... If you'd given me the headline and said, what state did it happen in, everybody's going to know that it's Florida. Because if a bunch of crazy people are going to move someplace, eventually those crazy people are going to meet one another, fall in love, and then they're going to make...
crazy kids.
It's the way it is.
Yeah. Well, there you go. People behaving badly for today. A bunch of kiddos kicking the crap out of each other. By the way, there have been no arrests thus far.
Also, we're not scolding. We're saying more of this, please.
Yeah,
just keep it in Florida.
It's entertaining video.
Keep it in Florida.
CJ. Look at the time. It is time to
win something.
You used to chant that with me, and you don't anymore.
I was reading my Fresh Frank's, what is it? Famous
trivia.
Frank's trivia. Yeah.
Yeah, we got some Frank's Red Hot Micheladas. If you want to win those, give us a call, 512-835-1015. You do have to be over 21 because, as you know, Micheladas are an alcoholic beverage, and the Frank's Red Hot ones are absolutely incredible, which is why we're sharing them with you for free. But we got to play a little game that Matt came up with doing the Frank's trivia.
Yeah, it's called Famous Franks.
Famous Franks, simple enough. So let's get some humans on the line. Today there will only be one winner. I'm sorry about that, but you know, we gotta save some of the stuff for ourselves. Hey, caller, who's this?
This is Fernando.
Fernando, welcome to the program. Don't go anywhere. Don't hang up. Make sure your radio is turned down. Let's see this.
Good one. Good call.
Bye. Caller, who's this?
This is Pete.
Hey, Pete. Welcome to the program. Pete and Fernando, I'm actually very excited that you are both on the line. Matt, do you want to explain how this is going to work?
Yeah, guys, I'm going to ask you kind of a simple trivia question. They're all in first person. When you think you know the answer, you can buzz in. The buzzer is just your name. Pete, will you test your buzzer?
Pete.
Perfect.
Fernando, will you test your buzzer?
Fine.
Love it.
Ausgezeichnet.
Yeah, when you think you know the answer, you cannot get penalized for a wrong answer. I say that for two reasons. One, I don't care about wrong answers. And second, it's fun to say the word penal. I'm a grown up. Here we go, guys. When you think you know, here he goes. Round two of Famous Franks. Gentlemen, I designed a house named Falling Waters, and I'm considered one of America's... Pete, I
heard.
What's the matter?
I heard Fern first on that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he said it quieter, but first. So okay. We're gonna have to throw. We're gonna have to give him big neutral on this one.
Neither of you are gonna get that one, but I will ask you if you hear somebody. You chime in also, CJ. Remember, I'm 900 years old and I can't hear anything.
That is very true.
I'm on copious amounts of drugs just to be here, guys. Sorry, don't worry. I have tons and tons of questions. Make sure to speak up. Here we go, guys. I'm the business and finance hub of Germany. I sound like a city.
Fern.
Yes, Fern.
Frankfurt.
That is correct. Fern on the board with one. Pete has zero. But Pete, I think you're going to get this next
one. It's okay, man.
Here we go, guys. Next question. Beanie Weenie is my brand name, but what's my less formal name?
Pete.
Okay, Pete with the guess.
I'm not going to get it, but I'm going to say Oscar Mayer.
No, I'm sorry. That would be a brand name as well. Beanie Weenie's my brand name, but what's my less formal name in Famous Franks?
Ferdinand, you want to take a rip at it?
No idea.
That's okay, Ferdinand.
That's right.
The word I'm looking for, Franks and Beans. Franks and Beans.
Damn it.
Next question, gentlemen. I nailed tons of women, and I tied a key to a kite. Who am I?
Fern. Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah!
That is right.
Hey! Very true.
I believe we're at... what do we got?
2-0.
Okay. It's the first of three, by the way. Let's do this. I love Paris and croissants and French film and everything France. Therefore, I'm one of these.
Fern.
Hey, you're Frank. You're French.
No, I'm looking for a specific term.
Francophile
yes, is correct. Pete's on the board.
2-1 score now. This is getting interesting.
Yep. Ready? My brother starred in Rambo and Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. Who am
Fern,
I?
Fern.
But who did you hear first? Fern?
I heard Fern call himself Frank.
Frank Stallone.
Frank Stallone
yes!
is correct.
Congratulations. You are the winner.
Sorry, Pete, but you can play again tomorrow. Hopefully you can get through because tomorrow may be more famous. Are we going to have more of this Frank's Red Hot to give away, or are we giving it all away already?
We're saving enough for us to drink, but pretty much, yeah, we're gonna keep giving it away all week long.
Okay, good, because I love this game, and it's stupid and fun. And sorry to Pete, but congratulations to Fern. Fern, you over 21? I'm sorry. You've moved on because we're at the top of the hour. You gotta go do legal.
More
ideas.
Crap coming up.
Sorry,
just
everybody.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
NFTs are crazier than ever. That's today's Weird or Wired. I go through, I look at weird tech news, and I let you know, is it weird or is it wired? Artist Noreen Arakalayan.
Sounds right.
Sure. There's a big thing called Art Basel Miami happens. It's a huge international art festival. And NFTs, huge. Huge this year. Have you figured out what a non-fungible token is yet?
Yes. It is a picture on the internet you can buy that is part of a computer algorithm that you own, but you like don't actually have physical copy of it. Also, no screenshotting. No taking screenshots. I've learned that. So
okay.
Kind of got it.
Her first NFT came out, and it's part of her big, art. What do you call it? Art piece, I guess?
Sure, yeah.
It's called Love, Hope, Live.
Cool.
Love, Hope, Live.
I feel like I see that at every Hobby Lobby or Michael's and almost every Westlake Moms.
That's love, laugh, pray, take time to eat, something like that.
Sure.
She's taking a piece. She's turning it into an NFT. And inside of the NFT is a contract, and the contract includes access to one of her eggs.
Okay, so she has chickens?
No. Her eggs inside of her ovaries, which are attached to her uterus. Okay. Do you know how a woman's body works?
No. Do you know who you're talking to? Of course not.
She's taking this literally. She is the buyer. She says she's hoping it'll be a couple that wants to conceive a child.
Okay.
How about just donate your eggs then?
Good cash for that.
My artworks are all my own children. And the fact that one will actually produce a child is wonderful. She told the publication, trying not to be seen for the greedy. I'm adding some parts in there. Sorry.
This does sound very Art Basel or Art Basel or Art Basel, as I've heard it pronounced.
Yeah, this is actually in Art Miami, which is part of the whole international thing. She says the art will always mean so much to the buyer because it brought them their child. I mean, provided that one egg gets fertilized successfully and then successfully implants. I don't think she knows how babies are
made. Yeah, well, you know I'm an artist too, and I think I'm going to make my own art and combining what we talked about yesterday, find a unique way to sell my creations in my paintings as well.
Yeah,
That'll be a part of me.
She's selling half a baby. I mean, that's kind of what she's doing. And even then, you usually donate eggs, not egg. I mean, that's why even eggs today come in a dozen, because they break. They don't always get to the house. She emphasized that the child will be a child once they are born, not a piece of art. That may be true, but even once the child is born, you will be an idiot. I'm telling you right now, this one is fully up in my weird realm. There is no wired here whatsoever, folks. It's absolutely goofy through and through. Big time weird on this one.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
More tolls, more construction, specifically in my area of town. They're going to be going and taking 183 essentially from Mopac all the way up to the Leander area and adding a toll road.
From Mopac to Leander. Wait, adding a toll road?
I think so. I don't know. Let's listen to the news story and kind of decipher this.
Okay.
Well, get ready. A 9-mile stretch of 183 is about to be under construction for the next 4 years. KXAN traffic reporter Amanda Dugan shows us why and who benefits from this major project.
As areas like Cedar Park, Leander, and Liberty Hill grow more popular for people to move, traffic is increasing along a stretch of U.S. 183, specifically between SH 45 North and Mopac, a route many take to reach downtown Austin. In an effort to help the congestion, a new project is set to break ground early next year, expanding roads and adding toll lanes.
4 years worth of construction on 183 in one of the heaviest congested areas.
Here's what's nuts.
Yeah.
They've only just stopped construction on that segment of 183. When I first moved to town, that was the big construction project as they slowly built 183 out to Lake Line Mall.
To have like it make it an actual highway to where right. you just wouldn't exit. And now.
And they were like, this is for the future. But apparently the future's here. They're like, ah.
Nope, not good enough.
So what they're going to do is they're going to put one of those kind of toll lanes like they have on Mopac.
On Mopac, which is, I do thoroughly enjoy it when I've had to use it and I'm late for something. But I've also noticed for the most part, traffic moves faster on Mopac than it does actually on that lane. And do you remember?
It's the exit where you're going to find a huge difference.
It's how long it took to build that. And they went through like three contractors, right? Like it was a whole thing.
Oh, this is a boondoggle.
It was a whole thing. And now that we're doing it on 183, one of the most heaviest congested areas in Austin, is now going to be under construction for 4 years on my way home. Thank you. And, of course, toll lane being added to the mix of this.
Yeah, but that only up to Mopac. That's not to your house. You're fine.
Yeah, but there it's going to back up.
Nah, traffic doesn't back up in the city.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
Traffic flows freely and wonderfully until you get to construction, and then it starts right immediately. You'll be fine.
I remember when I was a kid, I had an uncle that lived in Austin, and he would always bitch about the city council. But he was one of those that kind of supported the city council. Was like, you know what, man? We don't want to become Houston. We don't want to build highways and build roads because then we'll just become Houston. But we inevitably grew into one of the largest cities in Texas.
God, they were trying to build a train system all the way out from Leander, but it was going to go down Mopac, not the one that we have currently.
Yeah.
And but it was going to cost like $12 million. And people were like, hell no. Hell no.
This isn't my Austin.
And it, dude, that's sad. Obviously, I don't think it was that cheap, but whatever it was so cheap compared to like the billions now that they throw out. And if we'd had it, I mean, look at how well the trains work in Dallas. Look if you go to a city like Portland where the trains work so well. And then it's going to be crazy. I feel for people that move, because there's so many people moving into Leander, Liberty Hill, areas like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to become a nightmare for them to get into the city.
Yeah, because 183 is always backed up. I've driven that way many times, even in the past. Had an ex that lived up that way off where this would be, like the McNeil kind of area where it's going to start. And it's just bad.
Now, get me wrong. I'm actually really excited about this project.
It should be done. We should expand the infrastructure and roads. And I mean, I guess if the tollway kind of sort of worked on Mopac, do that. But they've also done studies showing that when you make roads wider, it doesn't necessarily help.
It does not reduce traffic.
Yeah.
They know that for a fact.
It doesn't reduce traffic.
Because more people, it means that you can now build more and more houses, and that just means more and more cars. Well, but you're also confused as to why I'm really excited about this.
Okay. Why?
Because the traffic is going to get horrendous.
People have to listen to the radio.
People listen to us longer.
Because their internet is not going to work good. They're going to have to tune into us for entertainment and half-ass takes on politics.
This is why I'm excited. More dumb games. I love Famous Franks. It's the best thing I've ever created in my
life.
Love
it, love it, love it.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
It was our first official long day of this show.
Oh, just because we started so early today.
Yeah, we had to be in at 10 a.m., and you've given me grief for a little bit because, as you know, I don't wake up until...
noon? 1? 2 p.m.?
I don't think the bosses and management need to hear what time I wake up. Point being, we got up pretty early to do training and realized a lot of the stuff we've been doing on air, we can't.
There was no realization. I've been in this business for 13 years. I've gone to that meeting approximately 13 times, and it's told me the same thing every time, which is the best way to stay safe in radio is to be uncreative and unentertaining. And I have decided I would rather not be safe. I would rather have audiences entertained.
I love to delve in that gray area. They say there's always the gray area. And as you know me, the guy who's probably on record for being number one most shirtless in this building, probably only second to me is Nick from the Morning X. But it's there's a gray area that they left a lot of stuff. And it was funny that we didn't have lawyers present us with this big presentation we had to go to this morning, because the lawyers would read every example and read all the legalese verbatim, whereas we had our dear sweet Nikki, who works upstairs and
HR
and does like a she's not necessarily HR, but she gave the presentation and just like kind of went through. It's like, do you guys understand? Do you have any questions? This is that. Whereas like the lawyers were very like this.
Oh, they're a little less personable.
They're lawyers. Yeah.
And this is, by the way, it's called indecency training. And it's when we learn about things you can and cannot do or say, or ways you can behave on radio. The original rules were written by, I don't know, boomers. I mean, it is, come on. But there's the other thing, too, is it always comes down to community standards. And luckily, the standards of this community tend to be pretty low. So it's really, it's a town that has built itself up on rock and roll and drinking and making out with strangers. And that has, even those people, now, a lot of those people.
You're literally listening to the two guys that have personified that.
Well, also, most of the people in cars right now, even the ones that are headed home to their kids, guess what they started as? Before they had kids and became responsible adults with mortgages, what were they when they first got to this city? They were people out there going to music, getting drunk, and making out with strangers. Yeah. Sorry, I hope your kids aren't in the car. You're precious angels, all of you. But
hey, mommy and daddy had to bartend at whatever different building Copper Tank was that was owned by one of their friends from college at some point.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations for working your way out of that. I mean, hat tip to everybody who ever bar backed or worked a door or worked a double waiting tables or had to do the overnights at any Whole Foods or HEB stacking the shelves. We've all been through a little bit of a grind here. And we pretend now that we didn't have those younger days where we did some really, I mean, there are times when I still, you remember when you'd wake up with remorse on a certain morning and you'd be like, oh, and the feeling would give you shivers and then you'd get over it.
But then occasionally, usually get over it with like a shot and a beer.
But occasionally you'd go back to one of those nights and you go, how am I alive?
Yeah.
Why am I alive?
Yes.
And then it gets creepy again and then you go, all right, get out of my memories. Get out of my memories again.
Man, I've had, we can't even get into this because the show is near its end, but
just for the day.
Just for the day. You never know.
No, I do know. We're going on onwards and upwards. Well, we do have another meeting tomorrow. We'll find out. They may let us know we're fired tomorrow.
Hey, at least we're meeting guys. If we're having meetings, that means we're still employed. So I'll take that any day over.
They said come to the meeting and bring a cardboard box. Is that a bad thing?
Dude, I can't fit all the Lego sets and swords I have in this building in a cardboard box. There's no way. You know, I keep joking about this, but the saddest thing, and it happens to everyone's in radio, happens to everyone in radio, with few exceptions, is you get let go at some point. And the day I get let go is going to be the saddest, uncomfortable thing, because you're going to see an adult man, probably with a wife and kids at this point, maybe not if it happens in the next couple months, walk out of a radio station carrying a giant Lego Star Wars set, carrying a sword, carrying a bunch of costumes, I'm going to have to put my top hat and all my other hats on top and walk slowly to my car while being escorted by security, Tommy, and our engineer, Chuck. Why, I'm just like, but can I come back Saturday and get the rest of my stuff? No, sorry, you're done.
Really? If I ever get fired, you're going to see a grown man throwing talcum powder in everyone's faces. Booyah! Go out in style!
Matt and CJ. Afternoons, 101.